Maybe tonight, like I'll be accused. You come to Parashas Mishpatim, so the over-anxious, like yeshiva man, you quickly run to Baba Kama. Thank you, Gabriel. You quickly run to Baba Kama, Baba Matiya, Baba Basra. It's always exciting, Parashas Mishpatim. You chazer the Babais. And I want to learn with the Chevra, Gemara Baba Kama. We come to the parasha of Bar, and there's a Gemara Baba Kama that I want to study with the Chevra. I think this Gemara Baba Kama has something to teach us that's so relevant to our lives. I think the more we like live this value and incorporate this value is a big key to success in the handling of our own lives. The Gemara Baba Kama Nun Amud Beis says as follows. It's the middle of the sugyas, the middle of the fifth parak, which deals a lot with bar. And the Gemara says as follows: Tan Rabbanan. Rabbanan learns, La yiskal adam irshusa lirshusa rabim. Don't take rats off one's property and put them into rishusa rabim. Isur la yiskal adam, not to be psycho from your rishus to rishusa rabim. You're not allowed to do that. You can't take stones off your property and put it to just a rabbin. There's no lashon hara. Even on a guy, I'm not sure it's a good practice to say lashon hara. Here is like a shock. When you turn the bend, you come down Boyden, and you make a left onto Cook Street. So there's a house there. I've caught this guy numerous times. It's something you won't think about much this year, because we haven't seen much of winter this year. I don't know if the Chev remembers, there was something called snow that used to come in the winters. And Revezi said Yisrael is the only winter who's come to Waterbury this year. But there used to be something called snow. And there's a guy who sits when Boyden, you turn a left on to Cook. I caught him this guy numerous times. I want to post the Gemara Baba Kama near his property. I've seen him blow his snow, the snow blower, and put his snow to the middle of the street, which is remarkably dangerous and remarkably selfish. And for anybody who has a snow blower, what you're supposed to do, of course, it blows the snow. You put it on your grass. You're not supposed to take the snow. Now, you could say, Dam Lekavskos, if there's such an Indian that he's waiting, the snow plow gets in the street, but till the snow plow comes, it's very dangerous. And I've caught this guy a number of times. I've seen, you can't believe you watch a guy doing it. Like, he's just putting the snow to the middle of the street. But Yiskal Adam, he doesn't know a Gemara Baba Kama. Mishpatim Bal Yadom. He doesn't know Mishpatim. And it's Pashid Adin. La Yiskal Adam Yeshusay. You're not allowed to take rocks from your property or snow as it may be here. Lirshus Haradim, and you can't put it to the Lirshus Haradim. So this gentleman clearly doesn't know this Gemara Baba Kama Nunamud Beis. But I want to study with the Chevra here the following story. Maisa Ba'adam Echad. The Gemara says a story with an individual. Shayamiskal Mirshusa Lirshus Haradim. He was such a fellow. He was taking racks from his Mirshus and put it into Lirshus Haradim. Umatsui Chasid Echad. A chassid caught him doing it. He was caught in the act by a chassid. Very interesting that the Gemara labels the guy who caught him a chassid. That's very instructive to me. When you follow the story, why does he have to be a chassid? Somebody caught him and yelled at him. I want to suggest, and it's very interesting to me, Gemaras don't say random details. Gemaras are so brief in stories. Every word said in a story is very instructive. Who cares who caught him? Some fellow caught this guy. Who cares who made the left on Cook Street and caught him? But it's important to the Gemara, Matzli Chassid Echad, a Chassid caught him. I think what the Chassid taught is Yiddishkeit 101. A Chassid is the Pirush that literally it's Lifnim Mishur Sadin. But I think there's something deeper to anybody who follows Messias Hasharim. He says the first 12 prakim is to be a tzaddik, and after is to be a chassid. I think there's some mistake to just try above the letter of the law, so it's like extra credit. Tzaddik is what you're supposed to do, and chassid's extra credit. I don't really think it means extra credit. If you follow Maseiras Yesharim, his introduction, he says, Yisayda Chasidus V'Shayr Shavayda. Why does he tell us about Chasidus to start before? Avayda Sidgus is what's incumbent. And he starts his Sefer that the first parak, this is the Yisayda of Chasidus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, many people learn the first 12 prakim and they stop there. I want to be a tzaddik. Chasidus is extra credit, and it's called Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. I'm not sure that's how I view Chasidus. It is called in Chazal, it's a Gemara Bava Metzia Tumat Babais. It calls Chasidus Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, but I want to say that it's not above the letter of extra credit. Lefnei Mishuras Hadin means there's the law, and then the attitudes that the law is trying to produce. A chassid is the living application of the law. When the law is lived right, it will produce the chassid. So it's above the letter of the law. It's more than what the law says. It's what the law tells you and teaches us. So that's what a chassid, much more. Of course we're striving chassidus. Chassidus is if a person is sensitive and attentive to what the law is creating, becomes a chassid. The way I would like to define a chassid, I can't prove it to you. I'll be honest, like I have a friend who's a very thorough person, and he'll make such a claim, he'll study Shas every time it says chassid, and I'll be very honest that I didn't do that, and it would take, somebody wants to research, it would be very interesting. I can't prove this, I can only say my encounters with chassidus, where I've seen it used in Shas, lend me to believe that it's not talking about above the law. I want to even say here, why would it speak about a chassid? I would call him a tzaddik, by the way. Somebody made an infringement on the law, and it said a chassid came and corrected him. Now, according to what I'm saying, he's going to teach a fundamental of what law is trying to create. You'll see in my chat why he's called a chassid. If Chassidus is Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, there's no Lefnei Mishuras Hadin here. You're not allowed to do this. That he didn't teach any Chassidus. So why call him a Chassid? He had no Chassidus to teach. So it's a mere coincidence he was a Chassid. A guy who happened to have done Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, of what significance of this story? He didn't teach any Chassidus. What he taught was nothing short of the law itself. So why tell me about a chassid? A chassid came and taught Sidgus. So it's just like, you know, he's an overqualified teacher. It's funny, he's overqualified. A chassid taught Sidgus. According to me, the translation of chassidus is what the Torah is trying to create, an attitude. You'll see, he mamish taught chassidus. It's nothing to do with Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, it was just the law. But we'll see in a minute that a chassid came and taught chassidus. It will become more clear when we study this Gemara in a minute. But I don't want to say this is my raya from this Gemara, it's not. I have other chazal. To me, what I understand chassidus is somebody who gets what the Torah is trying to say beyond the law. So it's not extra credit, if you will, it's an understanding of what the law is trying to produce. That's my understanding of chassidus. If that's true, it makes a lot of sense Maseiras Yesharim would start with chassidus, because if the law is trying to produce this, so the intended goal is chassidus. It's not extra credit at all, it's actually the seif maise machshava tchila, it's actually the end game. The end game is chassidus. If the entire purpose of the law is to create this, so then what you're striving for is chassidus. If it's extra credit, so it's not what you're striving for, extra credit. I want, you know, people will say this. You'll hear people say, I want to be a tzaddik. Let's first be a tzaddik or a chassid to only learn the first 12 parakim of Maseiras Yesharim. According to what I'm saying, chassidus is the law is intended to produce the chassid. So you can't, there's no such concept. Oh, it's enough, I'll be a tzaddik. No, the tzaddik keeps the law, which produces the chassid. The goal is the chassid. So it says a chassid comes, and Amar Lai, I was a little lengthy there, but remember, you had this fella throwing rocks in the street. And the chassid came, and Amar Lai, he says to this person breaking the law. Reika, you empty head. Why are you taking rocks off the property that's not yours? Strange thing. I picture if we would like imitate the Gemara and I would tell that guy, the corner, I'm calling him out, but you make the left, he's on the right side. You make the left onto Cook Street, and I've seen the guy put the... So I would say to him, why are you taking the snow off the property that's not yours and putting it on your property? He's not. I mean, that's not what I'm doing. Sorry. He would laugh at me exactly like this guy laughs. The chassid says to the guy who's taking his properties full of rocks, he's taking them off, putting them in the street. The chassid said, why are you taking rocks off the property that's not yours and putting it on your property? Because I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. And the chassid's like, he calls him an empty head. The chassid's calling him dumb. Now, he's evil, not dumb. When I pass by that guy, I don't look at him that he's dumb. I get it. He cares about his side, his property. He doesn't care about our property. I wouldn't call him dumb. I'd call him evil and selfish. The chassid calls him dumb. Reka, you're empty. The chassid calls him dumb. Very interesting. I wouldn't have said he's dumb. When I pay, I would never say Reka. Sharp lines are very exact. I would never call him empty, Reka. You empty. Now, it's funny, I shouldn't even say the word dumb, and I'm going to say a pshat that it's very exact. He calls him empty. I really should use that word that he says, Reka, you empty. We'll get in a few minutes that the attack is very... He says, you're empty.
Not dumb.
He says Reka. Now, you could say it's a brain that's empty of intelligence. The word might be a different shot. We'll see in a minute. But he calls him Reka, you empty one. Very interesting. Empty one, why are you taking from the property that's not yours to the property that's yours? And this person, Ligligol, just laughs. Like, you're looking at me strangely. He laughs at the chassid. If the chassid would have called him selfish, he wouldn't laugh at the chassid. I have this rule that when you give mussar that's true, it works. Truth is recognizable. When you tell people off in a way that resonates, why wouldn't they listen? People accept the truth. Mikarim devrei emes. If you give mussar constantly and it doesn't work, you have to ask yourself, maybe I'm not teaching the right thing or the right way. Because people listen to the truth. The truth resonates usually. And here, the guy laughs. If he would have said to this guy that you're so selfish and you just care about yourself, you don't care about us, he wouldn't laugh. He might disagree. There's nothing funny about that. He would say, okay, shrug, I'm selfish, aren't we all? He probably would answer, aren't we all? Okay, but he wouldn't, it would hit home, you're so selfish. He didn't tell him you're selfish. He said, you're putting it on your property and you're taking it off what's not your property. So he just laughs. He said, you're clueless. You're clueless what you're saying. And he laughs. Liyamim, later on, it happened. Nitzrach limkar sadeyu. He has to sell his own field. Vayamahalach pa'isa rishus haravim. And he's walking in the very rishus haravim where he put the stones. V'nechshal pa'isa navanim. And he trips on his own stones. Amar, he says, he trips on his own stones. And he says, Yaf amr liyosei chassid. Oh, did that chassid get it right? Oh, did he say good? It's a very strange story that why the chassid become right. He had to sell his property at the time, and he all of a sudden understands the chassid. Do I understand the chassid? Do you understand the chassid? The chassid said a bizarre thing. Later on, he has to sell his property. And he says, Yafar, the chassid said shtark. Why did the chassid say shtark? He didn't say shtark at all. At the time, I owned it. And the chassid called me so empty, so devoid of understanding. I wasn't so empty. I wasn't stupid. At the very least, I just was selfish. So why did the chassid say good? What did the chassid say? And the way I want to say, the way I understand this Gemara, To me, it's exact chassidus. The Chaibus Halvavus writes about our wealth, and he says something rather shocking, the observation of how a Yid views wealth, and in light of the Chaibus Halvavus, this Gemara is gorgeous. And the Chaibus Halvavus says that the way we understand ownership, the world says ownership, anything that's yours, you own. The Chaibus Halvavus says about all our money that it's pekadon by you. God puts our money by us. When I say our money, I mean any talents and abilities. You're allowed to utilize what you need kedei chayev. A pekadon, I could say, doesn't hold this money. What you need to live, no problem. And the rest, you decide where you put it. And he says that's the Jewish way. That's the Yiddish hashkafas haTorah of a person's wealth. That it's a pekadon by him. He can utilize from the pekadon what he needs to live. And the rest Hashem put by him to decide where it goes. Amazing attitude to money. Which comes out that ownership is the right to choose where it goes. We call this in the Lashna Gemara, Toivus Hanah. What we own in our money is only the right to decide where to put it. That's ownership means. It doesn't mean it's yours. It's the right to decide where. The pasuk says, Ishes Kedosh of Layiyah, talking about Trumas and Maisris, says you own it. Ishes Kedosh of, that which is Kadosh, Trumas and Maisris, Layiyah you own. Really? You own Truma if you eat it, you're Chayiv Misa. Says Chazal, you own it, you have a right to put decide which Kayin takes it. You would think a Kayin could just come to your house and run away with your Truma? Ishes Kedosh of Layiyah means you have a right to decide to which Kayin you give the Truma. You have a right to decide to which Levi you give the Misa. That's funny, the Pasuk says it's yours. That's misleading. It doesn't really mean it's yours. It just means Taivus Hanah. Shucks. According to what we're studying in the Chaibus Halvavus, that's what yours always means, the right to decide where to put it. Bailus does not mean that you own it. It means you have a right where to put it. What you truly have is not what's by you. It's where you put it. Forever you have where you put it. Forever you have where you put it. That's all you ever owned, where you put it, and the right to put it, and where you put it is what you have. Where you put it, that's where it stays, and that's what you have. Your shaykhus to this is you decide where it goes. How you utilize it is only what you have. There's in a person's good voice, all the, at the end of, after 120, what does he have of his good voice? All the places he put it, all the times he used it, that's what you have for eternity. Of anybody's money, logically, what he has in Olam Haba, all the choices he made, where to put his money, that's his eternally. The places we put it is what we keep forever. Good looks, charisma, anything we have, we don't stay charismatic in Olam Haba, we don't stay good looking, we don't stay rich. The rich man is not rich in Olam Haba. His money doesn't go after him. So what of his money stays? Wherever he put it, that's what he has forever. So where we put it is what we have. Very, like an attitude that's true. It's called chassidus, because that's exactly what chassidus is. Understand what the law is saying. Do you know, it says on Trumas and Maisus that it's yours, and you're not allowed to eat it or have hanah, and it calls it yours, because you decide where it goes. It's not being cute. Oh, come on, like, I got excited. This is the first time we stood at our Sinai now, and we learned the halachas. And Hashem said, Ishus Kadosh of Leia, yes, I get to keep my Truma. No, I don't mean you get to keep it. You can't touch it. Don't eat it, don't be nemeh. You could decide who it goes to. That's always bailus. The ability to decide where it goes is bailus. That's bailus. That's what we understand ownership is, the right to decide where to put it. If so, that's exactly what this chassid who gets Torah is telling him, Reka. And it's interesting, Reka could mean like an empty brain. I wonder if he's saying you don't have anything, because you don't care where things go. You're taking rocks from your property and putting them on Rishas HaRabim. So you're doing bad stuff. You're doing bad stuff is emanating. Your property's not yours. You literally remain empty. Your dealings with the rabbim are negative, are hurtful. So many ways you think you're protecting your own property is not yours. How you deal with the rabbim through your own property is all you have. You're left empty. You don't give, and you're protecting what's not yours. You don't have anything. If you protect what you suspect as yours, a guy like guards his stuff, that's what you're doing when you empty your property of wraps. You see what you have, you're protecting, you're very careful, you're taking all the snow off your property. But your dealings with the Rishus HaRabim, your impact on others, you're messing up. You're the ultimate person, you don't have anything. And it could be. I don't know if this is drash, he calls him Reka, you empty. It could be an empty head, it could be empty, you're bereft of all. You're the ultimate empty one. Because what your dealings with others, what you give to others, are just putting rocks in the streets. So, and he says to him, why are you doing from the property that's not yours? What's by you is but a pekudin. You protect what's not yours. All you have in your thing is how you utilize it for the Rishus HaRabim. To the Rishus that's yours is the world of Rishus HaRabim. When he tripped walking the street, it spoke to him what the chassid said. Later on, he's in the street. He saw his own possession. He doesn't even have anymore. So was that really bailus, that which I lost so easily? And in the place where he interacted with the shesharabim, caused himself to trip. And what he saw is that the chassid was right. This lesson the chassid taught, what we have is how we utilize it towards others. What we give or take from others, that's what we have or don't have forever. Our interactions with others, how we utilize it for the benefit of others, that's what we keep forever, that's what we have forever. Ish es kedai shavla yeya. A man, his trumas, his maestras, that's what he has. There are mefarshim, it could be, I saw this, I don't want to say, it might have been our Chaim HaKadosh, and it's not different. I love when drash and pshat are not really different. I for sure saw in a Chassidish Sefer, it might be the Archaim HaKadosh, but in a Sefer us Chassidim learn, I don't remember sure, but I saw homiletically translate, Ishes Kedai Shavlaiya. The Pasha Pshat of Chazal is you own Shumas Amaisis. It means you own as you decide where it goes. I saw like a Chassidish Pshat, Ishes Kedai Shavlaiya. Is your kedusha of that which you use holy? That's what you have. Ishes kedusha of that which you use in a kedusha dikaway loyia. That's what you have. I love it because the drash and the pshat are not really very different. Where the pshat is saying, you know what bailus means, your decision where to use it, and the chassidish pshat is, you know what you have, what you utilize right, you have forever. They're not really different. Licht and pshat is that drash. What in the pshat of saying that what's ownership? It's not a trick of Hashem. I have seen this. Don't be surprised. I've seen this countless times. That what's called Chassidus Shatira really lies true in the pshat in the pasuk. And even though it's not what the pshat is saying, but the Chassidus of the pshat Chassidus, the implication of saying you own it. And no, it was a joke. I don't know. I just got to decide where to put it. Oh, that's called ownership. Fits very well with this drash that you know what you own, what you as kedusha of that which is used in a precious way. That's what you have forever. Your precious decisions of how you used it, la yiyah, that's what you have forever. And the attitude of bailus, not just on money, on all our time, the attitude of bailus on time. I own my time. The attitude on bailus of everything is the decision we are to put it on time. It strikes me a lot. This sense we all have, life is precious, we have a lot on our plate, and we own our time, the right to decide where we're going to utilize it, how we're going to turn it into something, what we're going to do with it. We do own that right, where we put it. And where we put it is what we have forever. We have that time, chayyayla, where we put it. We put it in things of meaning, the time, we have it forever. Money we make, talents we have, we put it in precious places, and that's what we have. That's how we understand bailus. It's all owned by Hashem. the right and the tremendous honor that Hashem put it by us, with the right to decide where it goes. This line that the Chassid taught this Reka, this empty head, or empty one who cares about his own property and doesn't care how he deals with the Rabbim, and he says, you're mixing up life. How you deal with the Rabbim, that's what you have, L'Rishosh Shalcha. That's all you have is your interaction to the Rabbim. So you're essentially treating the Rabbim by dumping snow on the Rabbim. That's the Rishosh Shalcha. That's what you're going to have forever. And he sees that when he trips on his own stones. He senses that lesson. That's what I have. That's what I'm busy with. That's what I'm going to always have. And my own property is not what I have. Temporarily, it's by me. But that's only Pekodin. And when he loses it, he sees that. So I wanted to learn this really beautiful Gemara Baba Kama. It's Nun Amud Beis. So that was the little piece of Baba Kama. I wanted to study a Ramban for very, very brief, because I think it's amazing Ramban, and there's a lesson that I wanted to learn from this Ramban. The Pasuk has very interesting, it speaks somebody hits his father or his mother, Mais Yumas. Manu Litzlan, somebody hits their parents, so it says Mais Yumas, Chayiv Misa. Then it says, going the next Pasuk, somebody who kidnaps, Benimsa Biyada, the person really was by them, Mais Yumas. Chayiv Misa, and then it says Mikal Lavimai, one who curses his parents, Mais Yumas. And the Ramban asked the obvious question that the first pasuk speaks about hitting a parent, so the next pasuk should be cursing a parent. Hitting a parent and cursing a parent is Chayiv Misa. Kidnapping is Chayiv Misa, but it interrupts. Hitting a parent is Chayiv Misa. Kidnapping is Chayiv Misa. Cursing a parent is Chayiv Misa. Why does it split up hitting and cursing a parent? Those should be back to back. Seems rather strange to put in between hitting a parent, kidnapping, hurting, and then cursing a parent. Why are they broken up? So the Ramban says, very pshatavadik, there are gishmak and machshavos to think about. The Ramban says, very pshat, gishmak, it's sad Indian, but gishmak, he says that maka aviv and gainav ish have the same chi of misa. He says, those two is misasai bichenek. Those two, the Mises Chenek. If you look at Rashi on the spot, you could even tie in a, Rashi doesn't say why he's saying it. Rashi on both these psukim of Misa, Mais Yumas, on Makav V'imai, hitting a pair, Rashi says Bechenek. On kidnapping, Rashi says Mais Yumas Bechenek. And he says any Misa that the Torah says Stam is Chenek. And he says, Rashi asks the Kashi, he says, Hifsika Inyan, and it says, Goinev Ish, to Maka Avim, Lekal Avim, he brings that to Machlaikis, Maksha Kalaklal, the Ramban speaks out Lehedya, that the reason introducts, the reason it blocks it, is because both for hitting a parent is Chenek, for kidnapping is Chenek, for cursing a parent, and Rashi brings Mais Yumas a skela. Mais Yumas by cursing a parent is skela. So the break in the order is the first two are chenek. That's why it interrupts with kidnapping. They don't have the same punishment. So it sticks in. Hitting a parent, chenek. Kidnapping, chenek. Cursing a parent, skela. What's rather remarkable is anybody who learns Sanhedrin, we're learning the Bava's Sanhedrin, we're learning a lot of Nezikin in this week's Parashat Mishpatim. All of us know that Skila is a worse Einish than Chenek, by a lot. Skila and Sreif are the worst, are the harsher too. And now comes out something rather shocking. For physically hurting a parent is less of an Einish, is Chenek. For cursing a parent is a worse Einish, Skila. It's worse to curse the parent than to physically hit a parent. That's rather remarkable. Pretty incredible. And I want to say, we're a people, and in the parasha of Mishpatim is the parasha of Lashon Hara, we say, Achayim v'amavis b'yad ha-lashon, it's rather dazzling that our Torah, and we're zeicha to be aware of Torah, to the day's big Josh, it's a worse punishment to curse a parent than to hit a parent. You'd ask like sticks and stones will break up, but the names will never harm me. In our world, to curse a parent is a worse einish than to physically hit them. Such is the power of the mouth, the power of attacking with the mouth is a worse einish than physical. I think we talk about chassidus, studying Torah, and learning from Torah ideals and values. To many people who don't know Torah have a sense it's just words. It's just words. And the Torah, the attitude we say every day we start davening, Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Olam, Shem spoke and created the world. Amir, the world was created with words. It's not shocking to any of us. It's funny, when I read this, nobody looked shocked. I think if it was Chas V'Shalom, a secular audience, people, for hitting a parent, which is a worst crime? Hitting your parent or cursing them? I think to a secular audience, obviously hitting, you got physical. I mean, bad enough, you said not, I said you got physical. To us, no. To us, our Torah Akdasha teaches us that for cursing parents is a worse einish than hitting parents. And the einish of cursing a parent. But I want to get to something more specific. I am moved by the general power of speech, by the power of speech. I think it bears teaching our own families this on Shabbos. I think it's rather amazing. I think you talk about Hasidus, attitudes of the Torah. In our world, Shmuley, speech is big. You rip somebody is a big deal. It's the parish of Lashon Hara. A guy gets a worse einish for cursing his parent than for hitting them. We don't look where you got physical. You said a disgusting thing. I think that's remarkable already. Just the power of speech and how seriously we take speech. We're not a people who said, okay, it's just words. What do you mean? Baruch Sha'amar V'ya'ilam. Speech is, we will mekadosh our wives with speech. You make something holy with speech. And we're a people who put a lot more power in speech, hachayim v'amavis b'yad ha'lashon, than I think people who don't know Torah. And in our world, for striking a parent, a horrible thought, but what's worse yet is cursing parents. But I want to bring something else out, and what I want to say is there's an inyan of kibud avim, to respect parents. And certainly we respect parents, it says, sai b'maisa b'dibur v'machshava. There are laws of action, there are laws of speech, and laws of thought. The Chayadim writes that the Iker Kavod is b'machshava. The main Kavod is up here. The main Kavod, Chayiv to parents, when we say to be Mechabed parents, it means to hold of them. That's what it means to be Mechabed parents. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to beg people, he said, your parents, you should think of one midah, one attribute they have, and respect, because respect is the Iker respect, is what you think. It's rather remarkable. Iker kavod is b'machshava, this important mitzvah. So he used to advise his talmidim often to come up with some midah, some attribute of the parents that you like identify them. That's your picture of your parents. Because you want to be mekayim, kibud. And the Iker is, what are you thinking about them? There's a din to be mechabed a yid. Himlachtecha chavercha. Iker kavod b'machshava. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz would advise to see good things in people. Because Iker kavod is b'machshava. Think a good thought. Be mechabed and think something precious in your mind about them. Iker kavod b'machshava. And I want to say that to me this halacha reflects that. If the Iker Kavod was your action, then I still believe striking would be worse than cursing. In the action, L'chaira, Dibur is not a Maisa. Came a Zoyvait to a Maisa. So if the Iker Kavod was the Maisa, then the Iker breach would be hitting over talking. If the Iker Kavod is the Machshava, so then already I can hear that cursing is a worse sense of the machshava of what you're holding. The ability to say such things. The kavod is much more of what are you saying about them and to them. To be mekallel means that you're breaching the machshava. In the world of machshava, being mekallel is a more direct breach of the ikar kavod. The ikar kavod is holding of them. B'maisa could be, people say, I didn't mean anything, I was angry at the moment. Now, I admit that you could tie into that on being mekallel also, but mekallel is a direct breach of kibud. Kibud is b'mashava. Mekallel is you cheapen them, you curse them out. The most direct breach, what? No, so it has to be a deeper. It has to be a deeper. Rav Aaron's right that if a guy would think a killer, there's no chi of misa. But to me, the being mekalel is the most direct breach of kibud. You verbally spoke out. The opposite of holding them is you curse them out. The most direct breach of kibud might be mekalel. So again, the fact, the power of deeper is very much here. In the fact that this is a chayadam. And I don't know if this answers it up to everybody. It's a funny thing. A person hits his parents is less of an einish than cursing them. If what we're saying is true, it's a chayadim, that the ikur kavod is b'machshava, so then the breach that's most direct to that is a different type of machshava. When you curse them, you openly breached holding of them and holding them special. It could be somebody could tie in a hitting is also shows is megala that. But the thing that directly is the breach of covet is mekallel. Lemaisa, I wanted to share that chayadim. I thought that's an important chayadim to know, that the chiyuv to be mechabed parents. The chiyuv to be mechabed parents, the ikar is b'machshava. That's very demanding. It's very demanding. You could picture a guy, and if this, the Torah is real, the Torah is emes. You could picture a guy who's incredibly careful with his parents. Stands up when they walk in, serves them, visits them, calls them, and doesn't hold of them, and they're not really mekayim, kibud avim. The best thing for us all, as much as we can with our parents, is to identify a positive attribute that they have and see them that way. Ikar kavod is b'machshava, is holding stark as much as we can of our parents. All the chiyuvim of kibud. To be mechabed another yid, ikur kavod is b'machshav, and himlachtecha chavercha is one of the questions they asked us after 120 when you mechabed your friend. And the mechabed our friend would mean not just we didn't speak badly to him, it means b'machshav. The Rambam says a Rebbe has to be mechabed of his Talmud. The ikur kavod be b'machshav. It's not what you say to him, it's did you really hold of him. Rev Hirsch writes that the bedrock of education, the basis of all chenuch is to kavod, is respecting the youth. Rav Hirsch writes, they all mean the same thing, that ikar kavod is b'machshava, and holding is the most important. I'm not sure, and I'd love to debate, I'd love to think about it, I'm not positive, I'm right. I'm saying if that's the ikar, and the Chayadim writes it's the ikar, then it's not so strange to me that mekalo is a worse breach than maka. If the ikar was the actions, so it would seem to me that maka would be the worst. If the ikar is respect, then you could debate. Then I'm not sure. Cursing somebody, hitting, the ikar is the machshava. I'm not sure. Somehow, to me, there's something about that the ikar is the machshava that mekalel might be a bigger breach. One could argue with me. One could say even if the machshava, smacking them, is not a very good machshava, it's debatable. I certainly could hear, if the ikar of kavod is the actions, so smacking a parent, I don't see how it wouldn't be a bigger breach than cursing. It's the furthest action from kavod. If the ikar kavod is what you hold to them, so that's not surprising, cursing them out's a worse breach than hitting. But I'm not sure. It's debatable. It's debatable if you like that teretz. Maybe you weren't bothered by the kasha, because in our world, words could be worse than physical in our world. So it could be, if you weren't bothered by the kasha, excellent. Lemaisa, this fact is true. I think it bears studying. The fact that one hits a parent is not punished as much as cursing a parent is rather remarkable. At the very least, it speaks about the power of Dibur. I'm claiming that this might connect to that which the Chayadim writes anyway. So I want you to know the Chayadim, and the Chayadim writes that the Ikar Kavod is b'machshava. To me, then, the breach of cursing is understandably might be worse than the breach of hitting. Lemaisa, that's the halacha. It's a worse einish. That nobody can deny. The halacha is that for cursing a parent, chas v'sholom, is chi of skila. For hitting a parent is a chi of chenek. And that's an open Mishnah Sanhedrin, that skila is a worse einish than chenek. So go figure. If you have a different shot, I would be interested in hearing. I wanted to share this. The chevra, yashar koach, rabbeisa. That was.